Ancient Faith Radio presents Homilies from All Saints, the weekly sermons from Father Patrick Henry Reardon, pastor of All Saints Orthodox Church in Chicago, the parent church of Ancient Faith Radio. Here now is Father Pat with this week's homily from All Saints.
It is the custom, I think the laudable custom, of the Antiochians that on the Sunday before the Triodium, we always read the story, Matthew's version, chapter 15 is Matthew, Matthew's version of the Syrophoenician woman whom Matthew calls the Canaanite woman. It's a great way to prepare for the Triodion. And it provides an entrance into next Sunday's gospel about the publican and the Pharisee. But because we have this every year, I think most priests who have been ordained any time have lost count of the number of times they've preached on the text. Let's see if I can find three more things to say about it. What shall we say about this woman? First, she is having what is known as a panic attack. Does everybody here know what is meant by a panic? I'm getting a lot of dull stares here. You have no idea what is meant by a panic. The word panic is worth our investigation. It's a direct English version of a Greek word, panikon, which means great fear. It's actually a substantive of the neuter adjective, panikos, paniki, paniki, panikon. Probably the underlying noun of it is dila, panikon dila, a great fear. But where does the word come from? It's a word you know very well. I suspect almost everybody above maybe Gregory's age knows the word pan. Pan, when you see pictures of Pan in Greek art, he's the late Pan. He's a little goatish guy with a little beard. But Pan used to really amount to something. In antiquity, Pan was really something. Did I hear the word pantheism? Pantheism? It means everything is God. See, originally, Pan was God. The God. He's a God earlier than Zeus. Apollo is no match for him. Pan is God in the sense of everything. The universal God. From that word we get the word pandemonism. Pandemonium. All the demons. Pan means everything. A panic attack is an attack that can only be caused by Pan. A panic, therefore, is an extreme form of fear, sort of fear prompted by the god Pan. A panic is the experience of the person who feels like everything is coming at him at once. No wonder you didn't know what that meant. It's a sensation of being overwhelmed and unable to cope. Everything that could go bad is going bad. It's a panic. And such was the experience of the psalmist who wrote, I'll give you a little quotation from a psalm here. Listen to the panic in his voice. O God, do not keep silence. Do not hold your peace or be still, O God. For behold, your enemies make an uproar. Those who hate you have raised their heads. They lay crafty plans against your people. They consult together against your beloved ones. They say, come, let us wipe them out as a nation. Let the name of Israel be remembered no more. For they conspire of one accord. Against you they make a pact. The tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagarites, Gebal and Ammon and Amalek, Philistia and the inhabitants of Tyre, Asher also has joined them. They are the strong arm of the children of Lot. Notice you have here together this list of almost all of Israel's enemies, at least for hundreds of years, and they're all coming at one time. This is the kind of attack that provokes panic, because everyone is besieging us at once. Now, such a confederacy, in fact, never existed in ancient times. At no point in Israel's history did all of those forces even exist simultaneously, much less attack simultaneously. The psalm is describing not an historical situation, but I would call an ongoing general situation. Whoever the enemy happens to be at the moment, the servants of God feel like everything is happening to them at once. There are lots of modern metaphors for this. The situation is called panic. And it leads to something called, I'll give you another word, desperation, which comes from the Latin word spes, which means hope. Desperation means a situation without hope. Now, what is panic supposed to produce? Well, it's supposed to produce, and this brings me to point two, faith. Faith. This is the proper response to panic, is faith. Let's go back to that same psalm we just quoted and look at the subsequent lines of that psalm. The person is praying. Who is the person? It was ourselves. It's the church. We're praying what? Do to them as you did to Midian and to Sisera and Jabin at the river Kishon, who were destroyed at Endor, who became as dung upon the ground. Make their nobles like Oreb and Zeeb, all their princes like Zeba and Zalmunna. That's called faith. Faith, that is to say, remembers God's former deeds of mercy. Faith recalls God's activity of deliverance. Faith is not simply something in the here and now. Faith has something to do with the lively sense of memory. And I really do believe that those who are lacking in faith usually have a failure of memory. Time of memory and attention span. Faith has something to do with memory. Over and over in Holy Scripture, God's servants pray for deliverance. They invoke stories that they know from memory. The Lord is our God in whom we trust. He is the God who has never parted from us. And we know this by memory. That's extremely important because memory is the source of our identity. That's how we know who we are, because we haven't forgotten. Without memory, there's no identity. But without memory, my brothers and sisters, there's no faith. According to Isaac Watts' great paraphrase of Psalm 90, God is our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. What we want God to do on our behalf now, what we hope for Him to do in the years to come, is inseparable from what He has already done. The apostles often lacked memory. In chapter 15 of Matthew, chapter 8 of Mark, they come to Jesus and say, how are we going to feed all these people with bread here in the wilderness? In each of those Gospels, He had just done it two chapters earlier. don't seem to get the message. Within two chapters, they've forgotten. And Jesus says this to them. How many baskets did you take up? And I multiplied the five loaves. How many baskets did you take up when I multiplied the seven loaves? Remember the scene where he says that in both Matthew and Mark? It's the one where they have one loaf of bread and they get in the boat. They're ready to go with one loaf of bread. And they start arguing about among themselves. We don't have enough bread. He's already, in each of those Gospels, he has already multiplied loaves twice. Now, does that seem funny? Then why have you ever worried about something that may happen tomorrow? May happen tomorrow. Why are you worried about anything going on in your life? Just think back. Remember what the Lord has done. We trust in God in the present and the future because He has already proved Himself in the past. In the words of St. Paul, "He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things?" He's given us His only begotten Son. He's going to give us everything else. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, we must cultivate our faith by the nourishing of our memory. Let us think of all times of God's acts of salvation. Let our minds be sustained at every hour by the deliberate remembrance of what He has done. Let us take seriously the foundation of our faith, namely, our help is in the name of the Lord. What's the second half of that? Who has made heaven and earth. Our help is in the name of the Lord who has made heaven and earth. Thirdly, how is faith expressed? Faith is expressed in humble prayer, as we see in the woman in this story. She flings herself completely on the mercy of Christ. All self-righteousness, all pretense is gone. There's no room left for haughty thoughts or an arrogant temper. If the Lord seems to ignore her, she does not grow weary. If the Lord calls her a dog, she forbears the injury. That is to say, the woman has no righteousness of their own, of her own. And we all believe in righteousness by faith. Until somebody crosses us. Then we don't believe it anymore. You see, righteousness by faith means we don't have anything else going for us. That's what it means. That humility is the only proper response. Like the thief on the cross, this woman commits herself and her child to the mercy of Christ. And St. Matthew, not Mark, but St. Matthew notes that she's kneeling when she says all of this. She's on her knees. She is suffering. She is without pride and comes to Christ with nothing but an empty heart. Now prayer, my brothers and sisters in Christ, prayer is pleasing to God only when it is humble, when it is not self-satisfied, not when it's experienced as fulfilling. I mean, I've actually had people say this to me. I used to pray, but I don't get anything out of it. Or, I've had people actually say, none of you, obviously, because you're here. I used to go to church, but I didn't get anything out of it. As though somehow you're supposed to go to church to get something out of it. It's like a grocery store or something. You go there for a product. That's not why we pray. It's not why we pray at all. Prayer is not pleasing to God because it engenders devout sentiments in the one who prays. Prayer is pleasing to God because it is humble and is self-effacing. Now, reading about this woman in today's Gospel prepares us for next Sunday's Gospel. The Gospel about the publican and the Pharisee. As we shall reflect at that time, the difference between these two men is perceived in the differences between their prayers. The one has a self-satisfied prayer. He's thanking God. But he's thanking God that he's such a good guy. We'll talk about that next week. Somebody who's going to prayer. He's going to the temple to pray. But he doesn't leave justified. In fact, he's feeding on the blood of the publican. I thank you that I'm not like that fellow. He brings judgment into God's temple. The prayer of that publican, on the other hand, is like the prayer of today's Canaanite woman. It is humble. It is self-abasing. It flees to the mercy of God for deliverance from panic. It's the embodiment of faith. We are always, almost always, in a very good position to make this prayer. Almost always. But the best circumstances are all of the circumstances called panic when it comes upon us. And in panic, we flee to Christ in faith and we humble ourselves for His mercy. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
And that was Father Patrick Reardon, pastor of All Saints Orthodox Church in Chicago, with this week's homily from All Saints. All Saints is the parent church of Ancient Faith Radio, and it's located in Chicago, Illinois. You can link to All Saints from the Ancient Faith Radio website at ancientfaithradio.com. Join us again next time for another homily from All Saints.